The markets, well, they rebounded today following a number of positive quarterly earnings reports. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 15th day of October. Thanks for coming by. We've got news about the Turkish economic sanctions you might be interested in. The GM strike might be nearing an end. Buyer beware. We've got a car story for you. How about the companies that are giving away their business and not making a dime? In a blow to Netflix, AMC theaters are going to stream movies. Yeah, but what about the popcorn? Those stories and more, along with our guest Brett Roeske talking about the Heartland Startup Tour. It's a non-political, political event. But first, the business news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the business news headlines. Well, Wall Street forgot all about yesterday when investors remained much in the dark about any future trade deal with China, and today focused on the big earnings reports from several sectors, including bank and healthcare stocks. JP Morgan Chase, those shares jumped by 2.8% after its third quarter numbers topped analyst expectations. The company's revenue also hit a record, boosted by home and auto loans along with credit cards. United Health, another Dow member, posted a quarterly profit that topped analyst expectations by 13 cents a share. The company's results got a boost from growing pharmacy benefits. United Health also hiked its full-year earnings guidance. United Health shares, they climbed by over 7%. Johnson & Johnson, meanwhile, saw its third quarter numbers lifted by higher sales of cancer and other prescription drugs. Those numbers sent the stock up by over 2%, and so far, 34 S&P 500 components have reported third quarter numbers. Of those companies, 29 have topped analyst expectations. Wow. One of the other issues facing the United States is the escalating conflict in northern Syria as Turkish forces attack our former ally, the Kurds, in that region. Well, yesterday, President Trump issued sanctions against Turkey as punishment for the conflict. So, if that happened, why did the Turkish lira advance on the news? Now, the reason is the economic sanctions and tariffs the president inflicted were more like a paper tiger, way less than what Turkey had expected. Timothy Ash is the senior market strategist at Blue Bay Asset Management, and he said the tariffs are mere, quote, window dressing from Trump, and there were minimal sanctions against just a few individuals. He went on to say that a trade deal was already years off, and steel tariffs that went up by 50%, well, Turkey hardly exports any steel to the United States, end quote. Meanwhile, Turkey looked at the sanctions, didn't blink, but kept up the attack. In a sign that the month-long strike by members of the United Auto Workers might be nearing an end, this morning General Motors CEO Mary Barra joined negotiators at the bargaining table. A person who briefed the media on the talk said that Barra and GM President Mark Reuss were in the bargaining room, but it was not clear if they remained in negotiations. The appearance of two key executives is a strong sign that bargainers are closing in on a contract agreement that could end the strike, which began back on September 16. Another person briefed on the talk says the only issues that remain are faster pay increases for workers hired after 2007, apprenticeships for skilled trades workers, and the specifics of winding down a joint union company training center. None of the people who briefed the media wished to be identified. However, the union has summoned its National Council of Factory-Level Leaders to Detroit for a meeting on Thursday that's being billed as an update on contract talks. The group must vote on any tentative agreement, and it will also decide if workers should return to their jobs before or after they vote on a deal. Stay tuned. Speaking of cars, Vox is reporting today that a major seller of used cars has been selling vehicles with unrepaired defects. That, according to a new report from the U.S. PIRG Education Fund and Consumers for Auto Reliability and Safety Foundation. The report, which surveyed over 2,400 vehicles, was conducted across 12 states at 28 different dealerships in July and August of this year. Out of those vehicles, researchers found 285 unrepaired safety recalls and determined that 1 out of 9 used Auto Nation cars contained defects, which ranged from faulty ignition switches to malfunctioning airbags. The auto retailer currently operates more than 300 dealerships nationwide. Now, while federal law prohibits dealers from selling new vehicles with unfixed recalls, there is no law that prevents used cars with similar problems from being sold. Two words, buyer beware. Well, today, Derek Thompson writes for The Atlantic about how so many companies out there are catering to the whims of the hip urban millennial generation, but not making a dime. It's a pretty stunning report. Here's an excerpt. Quote, about a decade ago, a fleet of well-known startups promised to change the way we work, work out, eat, shop, cook, commute, and sleep. These lifestyle adjustment companies were so influential that wannabe entrepreneurs saw them as a template, and they flooded Silicon Valley with all sorts of pitches and promises, end quote. Thompson goes on to say, quote, but as their promises soared, their profits didn't. It's easy to spend all day riding unicorns whose most magical property is their ability to combine high valuations with persistently negative earnings. He writes, if you wake up on a Casper mattress, work out with a Peloton before breakfast, Uber to your desk at WeWork, order DoorDash for lunch, take a Lyft home and get dinner through Postmates, you've interacted with 7 companies that will collectively lose nearly $14 billion this year. And if you use Lime scooters to bop around the city, download Wag to walk your dog, and sign up for Blue Apron to make a meal, that's 3 more brands that have never earned a dime or have seen their valuations fall by more than 50%, end quote. It is a stunning article. It's by Derek Thompson. You'll find it in today's edition of the online The Atlantic. Oh my, this is a big story. Today, AMC Theaters, the biggest cinema chain in the world, said it's launching a streaming service that will allow members of its loyalty program to rent or buy films and watch them at home. Now, you heard that correctly. A cinema giant will let you stream movies at home. It's the first such offering from a cinema operator. Starting today, the 20 million plus U.S. households that have signed up for the company's AMC Stubs program will be able to access about 2,000 films from every major studio. Later in the year, the service will be expanded to include films from a host of other networks. In addition, AMC Theaters will promote AMC Networks' targeted streaming services, making the first cross-platform marketing between two companies. Those services include Acorn TV, Shudder, Sundance Now, and UMC. Customers can rent or buy films through the AMC Theaters mobile app, Roku, and smart TVs, with more services and devices to be added in the future. This move puts even more pressure on Netflix and, yes, other new streaming services that are being launched. Stay tuned, and you want to stay home and watch a movie? But the question is your popcorn better than the buttery goodness at the theater? And finally, just in case you've run out of stuff to worry about, according to the International Monetary Fund, world growth is forecast to be the slowest in a decade this year. Slicing its projection for a 5th consecutive time, the fund said gross domestic product would expand 3% in 2019 as trade battles undercut growth in the biggest economies, namely the United States and China, as well as Europe and India. Gosh, anybody else left? Hey, coming up next, a conversation with Brent Roske, who is the Iowa State Director for 2020 presidential hopeful John Delaney. It is not a typical series of political events, but what he's doing is something called the Heartland Startup Tour, targeting entrepreneurs and startups with advice from former Congressman Delaney, now a 2020 presidential contender. It's business with a little politics. I think you'll enjoy it.